if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning. All right. How are you, Dave?
Good morning. No snow today. Bright and sunny.
I got to tell you, I was noticing on the... Now, when we left the show, our trucks were covered in snow, caked with snow.
Caked with snow.
And it snowed for hours.
It did.
And then by the time I went to bed last night, all of the snow in the valley was gone.
Just like it should be. The only snow was on the tops of the mountains.
Yeah. And this morning, I don't think you could find a cloud if you sent out a search party.
No, it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
So I'm in shorts and a T-shirt with a pullover sweatshirt again and my slippers again. I figured I'd give it another shot. Yes, they didn't work out so good. As a matter of fact, it was so bad. The hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes we're in the studio from, you know, time we get here till the time we go. I went out there. I opened the door, got in my truck and closed it. There was so much powdery snow all over. I ended up sitting on snow with my bare leg. Yeah, it was a shocker. This is a desert, man.
Wake up.
I got to tell you, this global warming's got to come to a stop.
I'm telling you.
I mean it. I mean, if this is what happens when you run big SUVs, is it cools off and you get more water and things get greener earlier, I say we fire them all up and let them run for like a month solid.
That's right.
Let the cows fart, everything.
Increase our water table.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking. All right, guys. In case you haven't gone to the 2A Radio website, it's all kinds of redone and fancy, thanks to a fella named William Riedel in Indianapolis, who has, he just on his own decided to volunteer and create new stuff with the site. We put it up and it's great. So 2aradio.com. It looks really good. The archives are up there and the archives have descriptions each day. So if you want to know what you're going to be listening to, there's the description. It's an excellent site. Got a couple of emails that we're going to go over today. Got a thing on, the tenthers, as they're calling it. That's the people who are, and actually so much more so the states who are doing 10th amendments that are pushing back against excessive federal regulation. And, Dave, you got a couple of things on, shotguns I think you're going to go into today.
Yes, I will.
And I got to tell you, yesterday was an interesting day. Leave the studio and Dave Champion, who has Dave Champion Show here on RBN 3 o'clock Central, Monday through Friday. He wrote a book called, Income Tax, Shattering the Myth. And Nightline has expressed interest in having him on NBC. So Dave and I have been talking. He wanted to do an interview. I suggested that we do this interview to put on YouTube and put on his site for this book before he ever speak with Nightline, in case they want to do kind of one of these somewhat regular hit pieces that people do on things that they don't really understand a whole bunch of. This is certainly one of those areas, a tax honesty movement. So we filmed it yesterday, went over to his house, rearranged the entire living room, set up three or four cameras, got the whole thing done. It took the entire day. I mean, it took so long. We got everything set up. Then we went and had a late lunch. Then we came back. We did all the filming. Now we've got to do all the editing. But that was the way yesterday went. It was a very busy afternoon.
It's a good day for a snow day.
It was. But that means I don't have a bunch of material, so you have a couple of things that you're going to go over. Guys, stay tuned. We do have some stuff to head on. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the emails that have come into the 2A Radio site. Again, that's always bill at 2aradio.com. So we'll hit that when we come back. Stay tuned when we return.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back, everyone. All right, so we got an email that came in from a fellow in California, and it was about insuring his guns. Dave, do you have a separate policy by chance on yours?
I do not, no.
No, but you're an NRA member.
I am.
Yeah, and NRA covers your guns.
Correct.
I mean, up to a limit. If you have a $250,000 shotgun that, you know, you had to win at Sotheby's auction, you're going to want a policy on that. I don't think the NRA is going to cover that, but they do. They cover guns. So I have had my own policy on guns before, and what this listener's question was all about was, look, they want to have descriptions, serial number, photographs. Now, I never had to do photographs of mine, and I'm not so sure how comfortable I would be doing that. But when I did have a policy on mine, and I have in one of my encrypted folders a list of all of my guns. It has the value, you know, the make, model, serial number, value, barrel length, finish, all the descriptors in a spreadsheet format, and the value.
And I have the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I have a policy, what I've done in the past is I print that out with a little caveat. The information contained within is the sole property of the owner of these firearms, has been presented for insurance policy purposes only, and this information remains that of the owner, and this is not authorized for any redistribution, copy, or other purposes that the insurance company would otherwise desire without the express written consent of William Carnes. Now, that I have that on the bottom of the Excel spreadsheet. So that means you guys are not going to be copying this, sending this off to some home office, giving it to somebody that wants to look through. If the insurance regulators are looking through and they want a copy, they don't get a copy of it. Nobody. I own that sheet of paper, and I'm lending it to you, which means I can come in there and get it any friggin' time I want. And if you really tick me off, it might be about 2:30 in the morning with a brick in hand. Anyhow. So that is what I would recommend you do. Now, if you need to have photographs as well, this is how I would handle the photographs. Just me. And I was thinking about this, Dave, on the way in. I would take digital photographs, and then I would have some sort of a caveat, like what I just said, probably reduced a little bit, like not so many words. Like, this photograph remains property of the owner and is not allowed for any redistribution or, you know, without express written consent by the owner, and have your name on there. So what I would do is I would take digital photographs, and then probably on like Photoshop or something on the computer, just cut and paste and add that little caveat to the bottom of the photographs. And I don't know, there'd probably be two pictures per gun, like one of the full size gun and then one down that says the like name brand, the manufacturer, and then the serial number, I'm thinking. Maybe the caliber too, if that's on there. You think, Dave?
I do. I think maybe just a picture of the serial number would be a picture of the gun. Maybe it'll be ghosted a little bit behind it, but
yeah.
Depending on what they're looking for.
Yeah. So, and then, like, have however many pictures you take, maybe it's two, maybe it's three of each gun, that goes onto one 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper because that fits nicely into a file. And then you have the caveat on that sheet of paper or at the bottom of each photograph, however you do it. That's the way I would do it. I might even be so inclined as to give them black and white copies of the pictures, but I don't know if those would print out very good. You might have to go with color. Anyway, I would certainly have the little disclaimer on there that says, this is my property. I own this property. I'm leaving it with you for the purposes of an insurance writer. Now, if you don't need that, if you really are not interested in doing that, join the NRA. If for no other reason, to have an insurance policy on your guns. I have shared this little story before. I'll share it again. And that is, I had put together what I thought was an insurance policy writer with my agent. And I had a shotgun. I had it up at my shop when I had a signed company. And somebody broke in one night and took the gun. As it turns out, I found out later, it was an employee that I had that I was giving a break to. He's a registered ex-felon. He'd pulled some prank with some of his buddies. There was a lady that they knew that was a friend of theirs, I guess an associate of theirs, that was a bartender. And they decided to steal her car and drive it about a half a mile from work one night and get out of it. But them being drunk left some evidence behind. He ended up doing some time on that. Don't piss off your bartenders. They'll put Visine in your drink, and you won't leave the toilet for a month. Anyhow. So, that, and he was, you know, the guy, he was a decent screen printer. He really was. And he was pretty reliable, considering that a lot of screen printers, at least in Vegas, were, I mean, man, that was a rough crowd to have to deal with. It really was. Don't get a screen printing business in Vegas. So anyhow, he, as I found out later, he ended up stealing this thing. He was still on, he had been paroled, then he got probation for some other stupid thing. So he's actually on probation at all this time. But again, I didn't find out for years later. But, I called my insurance company because most insurance companies have something like you have a $1,000 deductible and a $2,000 limit on guns. So if you have a $2,000 gun stolen, you're going to get a grand for it. Anything else that went is gone. Yeah, you gave that one up. So not a fan of that. So anyhow, I was pretty ticked off. I said, no. I sent in a policy. I set up a policy. Oh, no, we don't have a policy. So Tony said, I can prove it to you. Go to your files. There's an Excel spreadsheet. Okay, hold on. They call me back. Insurance, oh, yeah, we got an Excel spreadsheet right here. It has all your guns listed, insurance, all the stuff for the insurance, you know, values, serial numbers. And I said, then why in the living hell would I ever release that information to you without a gun writer policy? Why would I ever just give you any detailed information about anything in my home? Well, some people give us detailed information on everything they own. Say, okay, well, they're idiots. Or, you know, they don't want to go get a safe deposit box to put that information in. But why do you need to know what they own? And why would I give you information only on my guns, but absolutely nothing else? They didn't have an answer. That pissed me off, Dave.
So their answer was no.
Their answer was no. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We can set one up now. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. No, I want you to set fire to that form. And if you dare make a copy of it, I will burn the entire place down to make sure I get my form. So I ended up having to go through the NRA. They took care of me. They took care of me quite easily as well. I ended up getting, I had about $1,200 invested in that shotgun. I think I got $950 out of it. And then a good friend of mine who was retired, well, he's retired now, but he wasn't before, on Las Vegas Metro for about 30 years at the time, gave me my Remington 870, the one you've seen, the one you shot. Hell, you shot my gun before, I think.
Right.
Yeah, he gave me that gun. He gave me the action, a new barrel, the barrel that's on there, a new stock. I ended up keeping the action in the barrel, and then everything else I've redone on it. And that action, it's an older action, and he had taken the Remington 870 armors course and replaced everything in it. So it was a nice, seasoned action with all brand new stuff inside of it when he gave it to me.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I had the whole thing all redone in a black Teflon finish. And it's a pretty gun, and better than it being pretty, it really works. Yeah, I mean, it's smooth action.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. So anyhow, that's my experience with the whole insurance thing with guns, is join the NRA. They have policies. You can go on to the NRA website, NRA.org, I believe it is, and look and see what it is they offer for, what, $35 a year, $40 a year, whatever the membership is. You get a magazine, which has some pretty decent stuff in it, your choice of what half a dozen magazines they have, and you get all your guns insured. That's really why I remain an NRA member. I mean, the way they go about things with the, you know, just constantly, well, you know, let's negotiate this gun control thing that you're looking at doing. Let's really kind of get some sort of let's not really fight everything to do with guns. Let's come up with some sort of a happy medium here, you know. Let's see what we can do. That sort of thing drives me nuts. That's why I like Dudley Brown and the organization he put together, NASA Association for Gun Owners. That's really where the fight needs to be. Anyhow, that's what I do is essentially for the insurance and the good reading. The magazines I get, I got America's Freedom, America's True Freedom,
American
or
Freedom, yeah.
Freedom First, whatever it is.
First,
yeah. I used to get the American Hunter, something like
there's
that.
The Hunter, and then there's the Rifleman.
Yeah, the Rifleman. Used to get the Rifleman. Had the Hunter for a while, now I do the Freedom one, which is a little bit more politically and Second Amendment and Tenth Amendment based. Speaking of which, we're going to go into an article that came out of Gun Tests, out of Gun Tests, dealing with what are known as the tenthers, and that's really the states that are pushing back, like the Montana and Tennessee Firearms Freedom Acts. So a very good article that was written on that by one of the guys from Gun Test, a guy by the name of Todd Woodward, who does some very good writing. Todd is the actual editor of Gun Test, a very bright guy, very seasoned. I've never met him, but I'm familiar with his work and what he's done. And Gun Test is an excellent magazine. They really do go into really testing all the different guns and gear that come out, and they've got some pretty good reviews. The guys know what they're doing pretty well. Their nomenclature is pretty solid when they go to talking about stuff. And, you know, people like Dave and I, we are absolute sticklers for nomenclature, because if you call something one thing, when in fact it's actually something else, we get confused. It's like, wait a minute, there's a way to run a 1911 with a clip? What are you talking about? Oh, no, this thing. Oh, that's a magazine.
Correct.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. So, it's amazing. Nobody ever calls a clip a magazine, but a lot of people call a magazine a clip.
Yes, they do.
Whatever it is. All right, guys. So, we've got a couple things. We're going to go into shotguns after the break. Dave, I'm going to let you take that one away.
Very good.
All right, guys. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. This is Bill Carnes with Dave Patton riding along right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And good morning, Dave Patton here. We're going to talk a little bit about shotguns this morning. Yesterday we had a caller call us. I believe it was Marcus, and he was talking about using a 20-gauge as for a home defense weapon because it was easier for the ladies to manipulate. And I totally agree with him. I built two shotguns for my wife. I let her have the choice between the two. I built a Remington 870 and a Mossberg 500. And I'll give you some of the details in case this is something you might be interested in. You might want to do it. It might save you some money so you don't have to step in the pitfalls, if you will, that I have already been through. So let's discuss the Remington 870 first. If you start out with a Remington 870 in the 20 gauge, you can buy the youth model, and that already has a standard length of pull. I believe it's 12 and a half inches. That is a shorter buttstock, if you will, that makes things easier for small-statured people like women in general. I suggest you get the wood stock. They do make a polymer stock. The problem with the polymer stock is it's harder to cut and adjust because it's hollow. So once I've cut it, now I have to figure out a way to screw the butt pad back on, and it's kind of difficult. I favor the wood stock. I can cut it to length, and I still have some meat there to drill a hole and put my butt pad back on. Seems to work a little better. The other thing the youth model do for you is the forestock is cut a little deeper, if you will, meaning that the forestock comes back closer to the shooter. This is a lot easier on you because if you don't have the arms of a six-foot man, if you have shorter arms, it's a lot easier for you to control and to work the action. Now, the thing they did with the Remington 870 is they made it a smaller gun, smaller than the 12-gauge 870. So it is a little bit lighter. It's a little bit quicker to move around as opposed to the Mossberg 500. The Mossberg 500, the action is the same as the 12-gauge, so you have a larger action. What they've done is taken the barrel and made it a little bit smaller, so that it will run the 20-gauge round. So now I've got this, it's, like I say, the same size as the 12-gauge, the receiver is, with the neck-down barrel. Now what this does for you is it is a little heavier, so it doesn't have quite the recoil that the 870 does. And it's still, you can get the youth model, and it's a smaller shotgun. The other advantage that the Mossberg 500 has is where the safety is located. Safety is located at the very top of the receiver, so you can work it with your thumb, which allows you to be ambidextrous. You can work it left-handed just as well as you can with your right hand. Now, the 870 is the safety is just behind the trigger guard, and it's set up for a right-handed shooter. So if you're a left-handed shooter, the Mossberg probably would be a better choice for you. Now, there's an outfit called Knox. They make a stock called the Knox stock, and I believe they've been purchased by Blackhawk now. But they make a stock that's adjustable. It's similar to an AR-15 stock, if you're familiar with those stocks. There's a way to adjust the length of pull. And I've talked about the length of pull twice here. I should probably explain to you what that is. If you put the stock in the crook of your elbow and you are able to touch the trigger and you're touching your arm with the stock at the crook of the elbow and your finger touches the trigger, that's probably about right for you, maybe with enough to put a finger width distance underneath of the buttstock. Most stocks are, I think, from the factory, like 14.5 inches, which for a 6-foot man would probably work pretty well. But, excuse me, for smaller statured folks, it's a bit long. So if you do use a non-stock, it's the husband can adjust it for him or the wife can adjust it for her. It makes length of pull adjustment readily available. Now, that being said, they work very well on the Remingtons, but they don't work so good on the Mossberg 500s just because of where the action release is. If you put a Knox stock on the Mossberg 500, your action release is almost hidden underneath of the pistol grip, and it makes it hard to manipulate. For 870s, they work very well because your action release is in a different place. It's a little bit forward of the trigger guard, making it easy to get to. So I would say if you want a lighter shotgun that's easily to move, leave the wood stock on it. You can put and cut it to length, and you can put what is called a limb saver, which is a buttstock pad. It's a pad, and it works almost as well as the Knox stock. They've really done some good research on that, and so I would recommend the limb saver, and I would stay away from a
polymer
stock. I would stay away from the polymer stock, and also on the Mossberg 500, I would stay away from the Knox stock. So, again, there you have it. I think that will save you a little money. You can try it out. You can also get barrels from Remington or Cabela's if you want to have a shorter barrel with rifle sights. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Loved by dictators since 1917. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back, guys. All right, so I'm going to, during this segment, Dave, we're going to talk a little bit about both the good guys and bad guys when it comes, you know, a little bit more politically and sociologically speaking when it comes to guns. So people that are really kind of on the balls and other people that are really scumbags. All right, so we're going to hit both. We're going to start with the one, it's what they refer to as tenthers. You guys are familiar with Montana and Tennessee, and there's several other states looking at these the Firearm Freedom Acts on each state, which is essentially saying, look, the ATF, which is the long arm of the law, the branch of the government that regulates firearms in this country, does so under the Interstate Commerce Clause of the Constitution, right? So they could say, okay, well, we can regulate guns. And they do. They take the laws, write the regulations, overstep their boundaries, and the ATF are a bunch of henchmen. I refer to BATF as Bureaucrats Against True Freedoms, essentially, because that's generally the way that organization runs. So here's an article by Todd Woodward of Gun Test. He is the editor, and he says, in flyover country, out on the fringe where I live and with my fellow Yahoos, we don't like to be told how to live. There's an interesting rebellion going on. We, the Tenthers, are pushing back. He says, currently 22 states have passed or are considering bills known as Firearms Freedom Acts. Such bills declare that guns, accessories, and ammunition made within a state, sold within that state, and kept within that state are not subject to federal laws or regulations under the Interstate Commerce Clause of the Constitution. In sum, the states are seeking to nullify unconstitutional federal laws under the 10th Amendment. Now, interstate commerce is when business and transactions go between from one state to the next or even across country. Intrastate means it all happens within the borders of that state. Nothing leaves, right?
Right.
So, like, let's say for instance, let's talk about an AR-15, right? AR-15 is actually a two-piece gun. You've got the lower, you've got the upper. And, of course, you got everything that attaches to those. But you got the two main pieces that readily detach to the upper and the lower. The part that's registered is the lower. That's really the action, which is kind of different. Dave, I don't know if you're aware of this, but when it comes to, like, handguns and AR-15-type guns here in the States, when I say handguns, I mean semi-auto, it's the lower receiver part that's actually registered with the serial number, right?
Correct, yes.
In Europe, it's the other way around. They register the upper half. Now, you and I both know a guy who moved to the States from Europe, and he brought a Glock with him, a European Glock, and he didn't go through all the paperwork and process he needed to. And there is no, if you turn a Glock over, there's that little plate that says what the serial number is.
Yep.
Yeah, there, that one's blank on his.
Hmm.
So that's not technically legal in this country. I think this guy's living up in Oregon now. I think he's in Oregon. Is he in Oregon? I don't know. He was going to go to Oregon or Minnesota. I don't know where the hell he is anymore. I haven't talked to the guy for a couple of years. But I did see the gun. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. You want to sell it? The answer was no. Anyhow. let's see. To gun owners who revere the Second Amendment, the Tenth Amendment may become as important. It reads, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, that means the federal government, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Meaning, here's your powers, your authorities. They can be changed. Anything not specifically written here, you guys don't get. The states and the people do. So that's what it means. And of course, now we've got the big, massive federal government. Ooh, oogity boogity, right? And these jackasses have just taken all of this authority that has not been granted to them. So, under this rubric, Montana and Tennessee passed a Firearm Freedom Act into law in 2009. A number of states are moving that direction in their 2010 legislative sessions. Now, Dave, we don't have another legislative session in this state till next year.
Correct.
Yeah, so we need to work on, as a matter of fact, I have a list. Let me pause. I'm going to pull up a little file on my BlackBerry here. And I have a list of different things that I'm going to try to get our representative in the local area, the state senator, to try to help out. One of them is a Firearms Freedom Act that, much like, I think it was Rhode Island. Was it Rhode Island? No, New Hampshire. Pardon me, New Hampshire. That would provide criminal penalties to any officer of any agency that would otherwise try to enforce federal regulations on an intrastate gun. Let's see. Also, a ban on employer bans and employee having guns in employee parking lots, right? Like a lot of the hotels on the Las Vegas Strip say, if you work here, you're parking on our property, you can't have a gun in your car, right? Well, that means that they're disarmed from home to work and back and anywhere they may stop around. Also, there would be a, we have a specificity, I think is the word, on the CCWs where if you, any gun you want to carry, if it's a revolver, you, you qualify with one revolver, you can carry any revolver. But if it's a semi-auto, you have to get authorized to shoot that particular, every single different semi-auto. So revolvers are generic, but semi-autos are still specific. Get rid of that to have a no-gun specific CCW.
That's the way it was supposed to have been.
Yeah. But the thing is the sheriffs believe they can exercise some kind of control over this, yet they still bitch and complain in this state that their office people are, they want to raise the price of CCWs because they can't seem to cover the expense in their offices to process all the paperwork. Yet, if I go buy a new gun and I want to add it to my CCW, they have more paperwork to process. If it was generic, they wouldn't have to do it. So they're cutting their own throats. You know, what do you do? And then another thing, which has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with the Department of Motor Vehicles in this state, which is really a pain in the butt. It would be that it's, they will suspend registrations for all kinds of goofy administrative reasons, but they don't tell you. You don't know that your registration is suspended. They're under no provision to have to, like, send you a postcard that says your registration is suspended. So I think we ought to have something where if they're going to suspend your registration or your license for any administrative related purpose, or if it was suspended for any judicial purpose, they must notify you. But right now they don't. I mean, I know a guy who got pulled over on his way to work on Monday because they said that his registration had been suspended 2 or 3 months ago on his car. Well, the month before that, he had switched insurance companies. And the way it works in Nevada is the old insurance company, if you cancel your policy, they have to notify the DMV. Well, then the new company has to notify the DMV that you have insurance. So what happens is if the new company notifies the DMV before the old company says the policy is canceled, whatever their most recent info, okay, new policy, okay, great. Then a few days later, oh, this policy's been canceled. Ooh, latest information we have is the policy's been canceled. Suspend this person's registration. Well, they never tell you it's been suspended. So anyhow, I think those things ought to be handled. Continuing, on this whole thing about the Tenthers, Michael Bolden, founder of the Tenth Amendment Center, documents that in early February, the South Carolina General Assembly took up House Bill 4509, H4509, which, if passed, would make law that no, quote, no public official of any jurisdiction may require registration of purchases or firearms, of firearms or ammunition within the boundaries of this state. No registration of guns or ammo in the state of South Carolina. I'm not sure if it's one word or two, Dave. Help me out. Yeehaw. I think it's one word. You can't have ye without the ha. And you can't have ha without ha-ha. So anyhow, yeehaw on that. I'm getting down with South Carolina on that one. No caveat for regulation under the Commerce Clause. No caveat for types of firearms either. This bill says no to all gun registrations, period. Now, in Nevada, there is one type of registration in one area, and that's it. That is handguns in Clark County, Nevada. That is where Las Vegas is. Handguns need to be registered within 45 days of settlement in Clark County. It used to be 72 hours. And then with the SHOT Show coming in, they realized, wow, all these guns are here legally. We can't come back to Las Vegas unless this is changed. Well, so the last SHOT Show that was here in Vegas, the two before that were supposed to be here. But the year prior to that we did the 2010 SHOT Show, SHOT Show 2009 was supposed to be in Las Vegas, but they hadn't changed the law. So they took it to Orlando, Florida, lost tens of millions of dollars in our local economy in Southern Nevada because of that law. So it was changed to 45 days. You know, that's good news. I hope to have everything go through a preemption. That's another thing to push forward, to have all the preemption. Because there's a goofy law on carrying guns in North Las Vegas and another one in Boulder City. Because, you know, Dave, you know a lot about Boulder City. You've been around for a while. And Boulder City was originally set up as a federal camp For building the dam,
exactly.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of weird laws, not just on guns, but even, I mean, it's the only town in Nevada where there's no gaming.
True.
Yeah.
They also have laws about keeping your lawn mowed.
Yeah, on the books.
On the books,
yeah,
exactly.
The municipal codes on, yes, keeping your lawn mowed.
Right.
There are some nice lawns there.
No, they are.
It is God's country.
There
I mean, it's beautiful.
Little tiny houses.
Little tiny houses.
With pointy roofs for snow, which we don't have.
That's right.
But that's the way they designed them then.
As a matter of fact, Boulder City's hotter than Vegas in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Yeah. And Vegas is damn hot. Hot. Damn hot. Real hot. All right, guys. That was the good guys, the thing with the Tenthers. Here's the scumbags. I just want to read to you a few headlines. Okay? Where do you stand on unconcealed handguns? Right? And that comes out because in some areas, like in California, it's a mother may I system of carrying a concealed gun. You actually have to try to get permission from your police chief or sheriff to get a CCW. And in most areas of California, you have to show good, reasonable cause. All right? Now, in Placer County, California, they actually have a lieutenant who's in charge of that. And I read an article on him sometime earlier, I guess last summer, I think, where he said, if somebody tells me something like they carry large amounts of cash between work and the bank, and that's why they need a CCW, I tell them, hire an armored car service. You don't get your CCW. Right? You can imagine if, say, somebody says that. I carry large amounts of cash between work and the bank. So I need a CCW. And they give it to you. And then on a Saturday, over a three-day weekend, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever, four-day weekend, and on Saturday, you're out getting groceries and somebody attacks you and you shoot them. Could you imagine? Oh, you know what? We approved that because you wanted to take the money from the office to the bank, and now you, on the weekend, you know, we're buying a six-pack and some ribs for a Sunday barbecue, and, you know, you defended your life with your gun, and that was not why we issued that CCW. Could you imagine if something like that? You know it would.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in California. So, there's a headline. Where do you stand on unconcealed handguns? Everybody should carry them. That's where I stand. Dave, what's your opinion?
I like it.
Okay.
I think they should. When I see folks around town that are carrying open, I like it.
Yeah, so do I. I just don't like some of their choices in holsters and gear. It's like, I'm carrying my gun, and that's all. Like a guy I saw in Burger King, an older guy. He has an HK P7 squeeze cocker and a cross draw holster. He's right-handed, so it's on his left side. And it's in an unsecured leather, just bucket holster that's canted forward. So if I were to go up there and shake his hand with my right hand to his right hand, with my left hand, I could now reach over and grab his gun, pull it straight out, and shoot him in the chest. So not a great way of carrying, but cross-draw is excellent if you're sitting down. If you're driving a car, you're confined to a wheelchair, whatever it is. Sitting in the office, yeah, cross-draw works pretty well. Okay, here's another headline. Are open carry advocates helping or hurting gun rights? Guys, it is a right, so it is a non-issue. It is a right. It isn't a privilege to carry a gun. It is a privilege to elect not to exercise a right. You know, I'm exercising my right on this radio show. And Dave, I'm glad you're here exercising your right with me.
Thank you for having me.
But there are millions of people who do not exercise their First Amendment right, and that's their privilege to not do it. Here's another one. It's about Starbucks that's now allowing people to carry guns exposed in their restaurants, in their baristas, whatever you want to call it, if, in fact, it's legal. So here's it. Safer Street 2010. Are Starbucks safer? And that's with people carrying guns? Well, duh. How many idiot bad guys are going to walk into a restaurant or any business where they know people tend to carry guns? Dave, would you do that?
I just don't understand it. My analogy is if the bull with the biggest horns is walking in the forest, that's the last thing the lion's going to go after. He's going to go after the weakest link, the sick calf, the small, the ill. They're not going to go after the bull with the big horns.
That is absolutely right. I mean, that is just nature. That is absolute nature. I mean, National Geographic, you always show them. They're chasing the impalas, right? And what do they get? They get the young, sick, weak ones at the end. They don't go after the leader of the pack.
Nope.
Yeah, so anybody that would be dumb enough to go after the leader of the pack, human-wise, and, you know, we're a little bit more intellectual than the rest of the animal kingdom, I would hope. But really, the ones that fail to use that intellect and just go on their pure Freudian id, of course, he was a cokehead, but pure Freudian id, that wants to go after the leader of the pack, they're going down. And that's good, because those dregs of society probably shouldn't be around. All right, Dave, we have a caller. So let me see. Do I have the name of the caller? It is Mark in Texas. God, I love Texas. Mark, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, man?
I'm kind of sitting here in a quandary. You were talking, that's nothing unusual. you were talking before about how, you know, if you had a lot of cash on you, you could carry. Something that's always raised a flag with me is, you know, the difference between driving and traveling in a car, because for the longest time, and I'm not sure if this is still in effect, you could carry a firearm if you were traveling out of your county.
Is that something in Texas?
It used to be in Oklahoma and Texas. But as long, I guess they considered you were driving if you were inside your county, but if you were leaving your county, you were traveling, and that gave you the right. Somehow, you escaped a certain amount of jurisdiction when you did that.
Yeah, you know what that sounds like? Is that sounds like you have the freedom to travel. And what it sounds like is if they started to define travel, is what it sounds like. Mark, thanks for the call, man. We're headed into the break. Very interesting question. We'll talk about it a little bit when we get back. This is Bill Carnes with Dave Patton, along for the ride. We'll be back after the break right here on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back. So I think what Mark was talking about in Texas was there's been a law on the books there that you can't drive around with the gun in your car unless you cross over into another county, because then you're considered to be traveling, which would be interesting, Dave. We were talking about this at the break. Let's say you lived in one county and worked in the other. That mean you could carry a gun all the time, therefore exempting you from the law?
Certain times of the day, I would say, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, yeah, I have a gun in my car, but I'm traveling to that county. Oh, all right, then you're okay. Well, why are you traveling to that county? I work there. Oh, you're skating by. Which, you know, oh, that's not the way the law was meant to be passed, to suppress your ability to carry a gun. Yeah, right. Well, I got to tell you, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I like that, because, you know, that the legislators that like to suppress all of our rights because they're afraid we might actually take up guns against them someday, which should have happened long ago, in my opinion. But they end up finding their own little loopholes to make laws benefit them. But when an individual citizen interprets a law to benefit themselves, they don't like it.
No, they don't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like for instance, I got a parking ticket in Las Vegas, and that said on there that I wasn't displaying registration. I'd taken the plates off and put, like, dealer-type plates on there, like the ones that say, like, you know, this particular, you know, Ford dealership, blah, blah, blah. And so I parked. I went in to go see an attorney for about 45 minutes, came out, and they had a parking ticket. And it said, I looked it up, and it said that any vehicle parked on a city street within the city of Las Vegas, municipal code, must display registration issued by the Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles. Okay, so from there, that means nobody from any other state is allowed to park on the city streets of Las Vegas. Because if my car was registered in Arizona, it wouldn't have been by Nevada Department of and I had those little dealer plates on there because I happened to do a road trip deep into Arizona and come back, and they have photo radar. And I don't much care to continue to get these photo radar tickets in the mail and throwing them away. I figure I'll just save everybody the hassle because they're unenforceable anyhow. So I just put those other plates on there, and as I drive by the photo radar, put down the little visor thing and you know, mask my little single-finger salute off to them, and, you know, everybody's happy. Well, at least everybody on my end, which is me, is happy about the deal. So anyhow, I had to send them a response. It said, this is completely unconstitutional, freedom of travel. I cited, it's pretty funny, I cited different court cases by the Supreme Court, all kinds of stuff. And I said, therefore, this isn't nowhere near possible, and I'm not going to pay this $25 ticket. Just do us both a favor and remove it.
Is that the last you heard of it?
I don't know. I just sent it in last week.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor, coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.